So I want the sister to write the title on the board. And while she's writing it, let's sing 420. Because he died. Bow our heads. Dear Father, Almighty God, as we come before you tonight, you laid this burden on us. And we ask you, Lord, to bless. We desire, Lord, that you would touch hearts. We desire you to make your word understandable. Lord, visit each soul, all of our souls, because, Lord, you did so much for us. Help us to get a hold to it. Help us to realize it's all about you. Give me strength, I beg. Amen. Let's go to Isaiah 53:5. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. You know, I was thinking about how Jesus, what he did for us. I want us all to think about Jesus tonight. It's because of him that we have victory over sin. It's because of him that we have a change in heart and mind. We cannot do this on our own. It's the power of God. But Jesus did all he could for us. He gave his all for us. And I want us to think about how I'm dealing with, I'm kind of shaky, so you all pray for me. How did Jesus, he felt alone. I want us to think about the passion of Christ tonight, what he went through that we might be saved. You know, sometimes we as parents, we want our children to realize, and our grandchildren, how much the sacrifice we make. Sometimes they take things for granted. And sometimes we want to tell them, you know, I'm sacrificing for you. I'm the one that make it possible for you to have food on the table, clothes on your back. Just a little Thanksgiving, right? But what can we do to thank the Lord for what he's done for us? God sent his son. And it was a sacrifice that he made because he gave his only begotten son that we might be saved. And then Jesus gave his life willingly. It was hard for him. I want us to think of how he felt the bitterness of his soul and the agony of the things he was going through. And let's look at Matthew 26. He said, I don't know if that's the one, but he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you know what Jesus felt at that moment was such an agony? He felt like his own father had forsaken him. And God, in his love and his mercy for mankind, was willing to allow his son to feel that he had forsaken him. He allowed him to feel that. But you know what happened, don't you? The sun refused to shine. Things began to happen. The elements reacted to his dying there. So I want us to think, let's not take it for granted. Let's not be, complacent. That's right. Thinking that, you know, God did this. Yes, he did it. But let us realize the depths of the suffering that Christ did, that he went for us as an individual person. Each individual, each one of us can take it personally that God did this for me. Let's go to Matthew 26 chapter, 69, verse 69. I have the wrong scripture. I don't want to go to that one yet. I want to go to Matthew 27 and 43. And he said, somebody get this and read it for me. Go on down to 46.
The thief also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. For about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Jesus had to suffer alone. He had to go it alone. He didn't even feel that he had his father there. And yet we know that he was there. But it was as though God had to turn his back on what he saw that we might be saved. Let's look seriously into what God has done, that we might be saved. You know, let's take time this very night and stop our busyness, all those things, and let's focus on Jesus and what he suffered for us. We owe this to him. We owe him our time. We owe him our life. We owe him everything we have because of what he's done for us. Let's go to Matthew 26 and 39. I think we're going to do a few scriptures above it. So then let's start with the Garden of Gethsemane.
Verse 36.
Yeah, but let's go up to okay, that's good.
Okay.
36, yeah.
Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And when he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?
Okay, watch. Stop just a minute. You see, Jesus asked his disciples. He had this one request from them. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. The others he left back some. No doubt he felt close enough to them that they'll watch with me. You know, Peter, you know how Peter was. He was an advocate for Jesus. So he expected, no doubt he expected them to be watching while he's praying. But when he came back, they were asleep. They could not fulfill this for him. So he had to pray it alone. He said, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Can you imagine the feeling he had of them not being able to be there for him? You know, when you're in a battle and when you're in trouble, you have certain people that you really want them to be there for you. You feel like you could call them and say, pray for me. I'm going through this situation. I need your prayers. But in this case, he had those disciples that he expected to be there with him. And what were they doing? Sleeping. Oh, how he must have felt very alone. I've been in stressful situations. I know what it's like to have death and grief, but I also know what it's like to have support from the people that are close to me. And don't you know that no doubt Jesus felt, I could trust these. You know, he didn't ask all of them. He just picked three of them, and they didn't do it. So he must have felt alone. Continue on.
41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me.
Okay, let's stop a minute. Why was he feeling such an agony in Gethsemane? sometimes we go through things, we don't know the outcome. We don't know how it's going to turn out. We don't know how it's going to feel. But you know, Jesus knew. He knew exactly. He knew how those lashes on his back was going to feel. He knew how the nails in his hands was going to feel and his feet. He knew how that when they spit on his face and they mocked him, he knew what he was getting ready to go through. That's why in one scripture it says, sweat came down as drops of blood. And he said his soul was sorrowful even unto death. It was such a burden on him. He knew what he was getting ready to do it. And he really, if it was any way possible, let this cup pass from me. But he knew that he came for that reason. So he was willing to say, not my will, but I'm done. Let's look at when he left. I want to sing 263. Let's sing at least the first two or three verses of that song. 263, Christ in Gethsemane.
Beyond where Kidron's waters flow so brightly and so free, behold the loving Savior go to sad Gethsemane.
Let's go to Gethsemane. Let's see what our Lord went through for us. Hear the mournful sound.
That mournful sound. See the Savior weeping on the cold and ground. His countenance is
all divine. His heavenly parents see.
Bearing sea, yea, grief appears
in every line,
while in Gethsemane.
Let's go to Gethsemane. Let's look at this. Look at what he went through for us. Hear the mournful sound.
See the Savior weeping on the cold and ground.
Verse 3.
He bows beneath the sins.
Can you imagine?
Of men.
He has his load on him.
They are filled with.
The others are just as happy as nothing happened.
He cries to God and cries again in sad Gethsemane. Go to Gethsemane. Hear that mournful sigh. See the Savior
weeping on the cold ground. And let's go on to verse 47. After he said, rise, let's go, be going, behold, he is a hand that doth betray me. Let's read verse 47.
Lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him.
Okay, that's good. Now I want you to think about this. Judas was one of his hand-picked disciples. What did he call him? Friend. You were my friend. Wherefore art thou come? Can you imagine what it feels like to be betrayed by your friend, by someone? I think about Judas. He saw the miracles that Jesus, he listened to the lessons that he taught. I was thinking that he might even been one of the 12 that picked up the fragments after the miracle where they had the little boy's lunch, and they had 12 baskets full.
Have mercy, Lord.
And yet, he betrayed him. Can you see how he might have felt so alone? It was like one thing after another. My disciples that I trusted in, they couldn't stay awake with me. My friend that I picked as one of my disciples is betraying me. Now, instead of calling me Lord, he's saying Master. It's almost like he distanced himself somewhat from him. Oh, it's sad what Jesus had to go through for us. Sometimes we think we're going through a lot, but we'll never be able to go through what Jesus went through. I don't care how deep of sorrow we go through, we'll never have the weight of the whole world on our back like he did. And yet he was willing to he gave up the splendor of heaven to come down here and suffer and to be misused, abused. All he had done, what had he done? Nothing wrong. Healed people, raised dead, gave food to the people that's hungry, and yet they turned their back on him. Oh, let's think of Calvary. Let's think of Calvary and what Jesus did for us. Sometimes we might feel like people don't appreciate us, but you know something? Jesus had to go through all of that.
Yes.
He suffered, and he suffered alone. Let's go to Luke 22 and 62.
Luke 22 and 62.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter went out and wept bitterly.
I'm a little ahead of my story.
Okay,
after he had this problem with Judas. Jesus had warned Peter about all of what he would do. That he would deny him. And you know, I believe Peter had a special way about him that was, he loved Jesus. He said, Jesus had told him that you're going to deny me. But he didn't think so. He said, no, I'm not going to deny you. No matter what you do, what happens, I'm going to stay by you. All the others, when they took him and he was interrogated, he was did all of these things. They beat him and all the things that was happening. His disciples fled. But Peter decided not to. What he did, though, he followed afar off. And Jesus had told him, he said, you, before the cock crow, you're going to deny me thrice.
Have mercy, Lord.
Let's go to Matthew 26, 69 to 75, and then we'll do Luke. I'm sorry, but I'm a little shaky, but I'm going to press on.
Matthew 26, mm-hmm. verse 69
to 75.
Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto him that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him then, I'm sorry. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly.
Okay. So Jesus, you know, when that happened, Jesus turned and looked at him. He didn't reprimand him. He just looked. That's in Luke
61:62. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly.
Now, can you imagine what Jesus felt? Here is the main one that says, I'll go all the way with you. I will not deny you. And what did he do? He denied him. I think of, if we'll stop and think of what Jesus, remember he's divine and he has human emotions. And can you imagine what he felt like with his main person in his of his disciples, so to speak, denying him? A place of feeling alone. A place of feeling, I'm going through this by myself. You know, it's easy for us, a little easier, when we have someone that will go with us. But when we do not, everybody just like forsake you and you feel alone, that adds more pain to what you have to deal with. You know, he was beaten. He was spit upon. He was mocked. They took off his clothes and put on a robe. And they mocked him. And they put a crown of thorns on his head. A few months ago, I had a fall. I was in someone's house. They had a step down. I forgot they had a step down. So I'm going in there. And I fell. And I hit my head. And do you know, it took a long time for that head to heal. But then it made me think of what that might have been to have that crown of thorn on Jesus' head. Here, we don't have much flesh. Can you imagine what that must be? To have that crown beat, poking into our head with not much flesh? I was touched and I began to realize what my Lord suffered for me. So then, we hear Jesus say, when he's on the cross, we hear him say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He felt so alone and so forsaken. Let's go back to Isaiah. Let's look at again what he did for us. We're going to read verses 53, chapter 53. Let's go from 1 to 12.
Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions.
Yes.
He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken.
Stop just a minute. Do you see the depths of what he had to suffer for us? Why then won't we live for him? We need to do all we can to live for him. I was thinking, I don't know how much time the Lord has for me, but I want to be faithful to his service and do all I can. I want to tell people about the good news that Jesus died for you. He did everything he could. He poured out his life breath for us that we might be saved. You can continue on.
And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great,
yes,
and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
Amen. So you see, Jesus did all he could. If you can't get anything else, remember, Jesus did everything that we might be saved. But I'm going to tell you, there's coming a day when that same Jesus is coming back. And he's going to come back in all his glory and majesty. He's not going to be the sacrifice at that point. We're going to be able to see him in the richness of his glory. And we're going to kneel before him. Every eye shall see him. Every tongue's going to be able to confess. Every knee shall bow before him. He's done all of this, all he can for us. But I tell you, there's a day coming that we're going to have to face that very same Jesus. We're going to be responsible for how we accepted him. If we reject him, we're going to be sad and sorry. So we must do what we can while we can. He is coming back. Let's go to Revelation 1 and 7.
Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen.
Amen. Even so, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So this is the message that we want to get. We want to make sure that we don't take advantage or count it lightly what he's done for us. Pray for me.